If you have your phones with you today, would you open them to Romans chapter 15, chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses, really a lot of verses, but mostly verse 11 today. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. In the early 2000s, a fellow named Jake Halpern, who's a journalist, he was surveying middle school girls, and he was asking them because he knew that they were really captivated by the idea of being famous someday. So he's asking these middle school girls, what would you rather be? Would you rather be the personal assistant to a very famous singer or movie star? Or would you rather be the CEO of a major corporation, or the president of a university, or a Navy SEAL, or a United States senator? And almost half of all the middle school girls said they just wanted to be a personal assistant to a celebrity. That would be their ideal job, because they just love fame. You know, it would be such a privilege to be a personal assistant to a celebrity. Who would want to do that? Well, I'm not sure that most of us would want to do that, but, you know, that's really what we are to Jesus. He is a celebrity. He is heaven's VIP, and we are his personal assistants. And we call those sometimes in the New Testament stewards. And a steward, we don't use that term anymore. We would say an administrative assistant or a personal assistant. You are the personal assistant to Jesus. And that's a wonderful job. So that's what we're talking about today in our text of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. We're going to run into verse 11. Verse 11 says we're not supposed to be lazy in business. Not lazy in business. But instead, we're going to be fervent in spirit. Fervent means passionate in spirit. And serving the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to look at today. By the way, you might notice as we're doing this little section of Romans that everything comes in triplets. Well, not everything. There are a couple of couplets too. But things come in triplets. So let me just read you a little section here of Romans 12. And notice how everything comes in threes. So here's what it sounded like last week. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. See? Three. And then, be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love. And honor preferring one another. See? Three. Today, not lazy in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Next week, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. See? Always threes. Everything comes in threes. So today, you know, all good sermons have to have three main points, right? So it's already in threes. So today, here we go. Not lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, the only thing we're going to do is we're going to reverse the order. So in our Bibles, it says, not lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're going to do serving the Lord first. All right? So serving the Lord first. And we're going to be talking about what a privilege it is for you to wake up every day and know that you can go on a personal errand as the personal assistant for the Lord Jesus. You can go pick up the Lord Jesus' dry cleaning for him. You can be an ambassador for the message of the gospel. And some people just don't feel like waking up in the morning, you know, what's my purpose in life? What's my cosmic purpose? But you, if you're a believer, you are the personal assistant to heaven's VIP. And that's a very exciting prospect. So we're going to explore that. Remember that the text says we're not going to be lazy in business. We're going to be fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. But we're going to do serving the Lord first. So main point number one, serving the Lord. This is your exterior mission. You're going to serve the Lord. And, of course, it's your interior mission because you have a heart to serve the Lord. So it's exterior and interior. You're going to be the Lord's personal assistant. And you're going to do a really good job for him because it's what you want to do. And also, it's going to make you busy. All right? So we're going to be serving the Lord. The main point in all of your life is to serve the Lord. And then there are all of the other things you do in your life that are subpoints to the main point. So what are you mostly? Oh, I'm the Lord's personal assistant. That's the main point. And what are your subpoints? Oh, well, as the Lord's personal assistant, then I also have to take care of my wife, for the Lord because that's what I'm supposed to do for the Lord today. And I'm supposed to take care of my children for the Lord. And I'm supposed to go to my everyday job for the Lord. And I'm supposed to drive my kids to soccer practice for the Lord because I'm the Lord's personal assistant. And that's what he wants me to do. So the main point is I am the Lord's personal assistant. I'm going to serve the Lord today. And the subpoints, well, I'm going to serve the Lord in 100 things today. I have lots of errands to do for the Lord. And that will be your service for God, whether we're talking about main point or subpoints. The whole thing is you're doing errands for God. Whatever God wants you to do with him only, or with the people you work with, or with your family, or your neighbors, whatever. The main point, I'm going to serve God. The subpoints, oh, I'm going to serve God by helping all these people in lots of different ways, including I'm going to take care of my own health, both emotional and physical. Because if I go down, then the Lord loses his personal assistant. And I can't let that happen. All right? So in the New Testament, sometimes I mention this is called a stewardship. So in Luke chapter 16, verse 1, for example, there was a certain rich man, Jesus says, who had a steward. Think, what's a steward? I don't use that term. Well, now you know. A steward is a personal assistant. Or if you prefer, an administrative assistant. So there was a certain rich man who had a personal assistant. And the same personal assistant wasted his goods. And he called and said to the personal assistant, the steward, give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be a steward. I told you to do these errands, and I gave you money to do these errands, and I gave you time to do these errands, and I gave you the wherewithal, the personnel to do these errands, and you didn't do it. So give an account of yourself, because if what I hear is true, you can't be my personal assistant anymore. So you see, it's a trust. The Lord has given you a certain amount of money and a certain amount of time and people to help you. And he wants you to do a good job as you run his house for him. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, the word steward does not occur, but you're going to see this is an important person. This person is a servant, but he's also a boss. That's what we might call a steward, or in our case, a personal assistant, because a personal assistant running errands for a VIP has a lot of say in how other people are going to do things. So here's what it sounds like in Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? So you are the Lord's slave, that's true. You are the Lord's servant, but you are also a ruler over all of his stuff. So remember in the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, he went to work as a slave for Potiphar, but he got promoted, and pretty soon Potiphar quit running the books of his own household, and Joseph did it all. Joseph oversaw the staff, he oversaw the books, the accounting. Joseph did it all, and Potiphar just trusted him. Joseph was a steward. Joseph was a personal assistant. And that's what you are to Jesus. In Matthew 25:14, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. So he says, okay, they're just servants, right? He calls his own servants and he delivers to them his goods. Like, you take care of all my stuff while I'm gone. And immediately he took his journey. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came back and settles accounts with them. And his Lord said to this one first servant who did a good job, well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. You are my personal assistant. You handle these things well. Now I'm going to make you even more of a boss over many things. In Luke 19, verse 12, same idea. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. And he called his 10 servants and he delivered to them 10 minas, 10 pounds. That's 3 months of wages. So how much do you make in 3 months? It's like that. He gave each one 3 months of wages. And he said, do business till I come. You have the money. You have the time. Take care of my stuff. Do a good job. Came to pass when he returned, he commanded these servants to be called to him. And the first came saying, Lord, your 3 months' wages to me has gained 10 times as much. And he said, good. Well done, good servant. Because you've been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. So you see, he's a servant, but then he's an authority. He's a servant, but he's a boss. Personal assistant to God. You get to be able to say, I am the Lord's own personal assistant. Yes, I'm a slave, But I also have big responsibilities, big responsibilities, and I'm kind of in charge of a lot of things. I have to wake up in the morning, and I have to take care of business because I'm on an errand for the great king. You see, that's how it is. Not lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We personal assistants, listen to what our lives are like. As a personal assistant to Jesus, here's what your life is like. You have unlimited access to our infinitely loving and breathtaking God. You can go to him anytime you want to. Infinite, unlimited access. You're being entrusted with some fraction of the task of saving the world. You see why you have to wake up tomorrow morning? You are on an errand for the great Savior of the universe. You are his personal assistant. You have to wake up tomorrow morning and help us with the great task of saving the world. You have to live. You have to live well. You're important. We personal assistants have the use of some fraction of the Savior's staggering financial and material benefits. He's going to give you a certain amount of money, a certain amount of ability, talent, IQ. Now you use that to do the best you can. And we understand that we're handling assets that are not our own. We had a friend some years ago whose car got a flat tire and she was getting all stressed out about it because her husband was gone. She didn't know what she was going to do. I don't think she had the right tools to change the tire. And she's got children in the van. And so her prayer was, Lord, your van has a flat tire. What are you going to do about it? It's God's van. Now let's just see how God wants you and his other personal assistants to handle the problem that came up. You're handling the assets of the master. The house you live in is not your house. It's his house. Now, the only question to decide is how he wants you to live in his house and use his house for various things. Lord, your house has a plumbing leak. What are you going to do about it? See, it's his. We're handling assets that are not our own. And we have access to VIP connections we would never otherwise have. Jesus said, anybody who ever follows me, if he gives up houses or lands or family, I will make it up to him 100 times. The day you become a born-again Christian, you are born into the greatest club the world has ever known, the Christian family. You have access, as members of the Christian family, you have access to whatever are the assets of the Christian family. And not only that, there are angels who help this family. You have VIP connections when you become a Christian. You're born into this family, and we're all community, and we're going to help each other, and we even have angels who help us. That's what it means to be a personal assistant to the Savior. You live with a solemn ability and responsibility as a personal assistant to Jesus. The solemn ability to magnify, amplify the Savior's good reputation in the world. I want you to know that my heavenly VIP is wonderful, and I hope you know him. See, that's it. And every day you can look at me and see that my Savior, my VIP in heaven, is wonderful. That's how you want to live. You want to amplify, we would sometimes say, glorify, radiate about how wonderful your VIP is whom you serve. It should just make a glow about you. You should live, and you do indeed live, with a very real prospect of being singled out for special recognition and privilege the next time you see our heavenly VIP. Next time you see him, if you've done a good job, oh, well, that's going to be pretty special. And you should live with that idea every day. That's what it means to be a personal assistant, a steward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, you should regard every asset under your care. Let's see, what do I have that I can leverage for my heavenly VIP? What could I do to leverage? Because I really want him to feel happy about my work. And everything I have is something to be used to fulfill my lifelong dream of making him happy. And I wanted this job as a personal assistant. All right. So our text says, you're not going to be lazy in business. You're going to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now we've talked about serving the Lord. Let's talk about the one that's actually first in the verse order, but second in our outline order. Let's talk about not lazy in business. Now, when we say business, we don't just mean your day job. We mean everything you do. Not lazy in anything. In all of your business, like if you say, mind your own business, we're not saying that I work at Walmart and we don't want to talk about Walmart. We mean mind your own business, like your whole personal business. And that's what we mean when we say we're not going to be lazy in business. We're not going to be lazy in anything. We're just not lazy people. And this is your exterior reality. Everybody who knows you should see that you're a busy person. All of God's devoted children are busy. We are personal assistants to the Lord Jesus. That means we have a lot to do. We want to do a good job, and we're going to be very, very busy about it. Everybody should look at your life and say, oh, yeah, you're a very busy person. That's the way it should be in our line of work. When it comes to finances, sure, work ethic, we're supposed to be busy with our personal finances. So here's what that sounds like in the Bible. Proverbs 27:23. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. Well, we're not in an agricultural community, so we don't have flocks and herds. But it might say, look well to your house and your cars. Are they in a good state of repair, or are you letting them go to pot? Don't do that, because if you don't change your oil now, you're going to pay me someday. So let's just take care of our stuff. In the Depression, we had this little slogan. I mean, I wasn't there personally, right? But the idea was, you have to use it up, wear it out, make do. You just have to take care of your stuff. Use it up, wear it out, make do, do without. That was our little rhyme. You got to take care of your stuff. Proverbs 6:6. Oh, and that's hard for children. So if I have young people in here, you realize if you step on your toys, that's bad. Do not step on your toys. You leave them all over the floor. Say, oh, I don't care. Those toys cost money. Use it up, wear it out, make do, or do without. There might not be more toys. You have to take care of your stuff. Same with adults. In Proverbs 6:6, take care of your stuff. Take care of your finances. Go to the end. Pay attention to the end. Go to the end, you slacker. Consider her ways. Be wise. She has no guide, overseer, or ruler. She provides her food in the summer when the getting is good and gathers her fruit in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O slacker? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little more folding of the hands? So your poverty shall come as one that travels in your scarcity as an armed man. There's going to be a robber at your door and take away all your stuff because you're lazy. And the robber is laziness. In Proverbs 19:15, laziness casts a person into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. We're not going to be lazy in business. We don't do that. Christians don't do that. All God's children are busy. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the lazy desires, but has nothing. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded, if any man will not work, neither should he eat. You got to work hard. All God's people work hard. We are not baby birds who sit in our nest with our mouths open waiting for people to drop stuff in. We are personal assistants to the great King of the universe, and we're always busy. It's what we do. Now we're also busy in non-financial matters. So, for example, Colossians 3:22 is talking about servants, but they don't really get paid. They're servants. So here's what servants are supposed to do. Obey in all things your masters, not with eye service. Like, oh, master's looking, I got to look busy. No, not like that. Not with eye service as men pleasers. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily with your heart. Do it heartily. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Is this as if the Lord is looking over your shoulder? Never mind your boss looking over your shoulder. The Lord is looking over your shoulder. You are his personal assistant. Are you doing a good job? And when is the Lord not looking over your shoulder? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You never were just the employee of a person. You are the employee of God, and He will reward your good work if you work well. Almost the exact same thing is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. That idea was so important that it is reiterated. There's so much to do. So much to do. If today you won the lottery, and I hope you don't play the lottery, but let's just say that today you won the lottery and you never had to work again, I hope you would still be busy. Don't you know what we have to do as the Lord's personal assistants? Our day jobs were only part of that. But there's so much more to do. Do you know what we have to do? Well, first of all, we have to speak to unbelievers about the gospel wherever we can. If we're standing in the grocery store line, we should just probe and see if this person has anything that they like to tell us about. Could be the weather. From the weather might graduate to, oh, yeah, are you busy? Oh, yeah, why are you busy? Well, I'm doing something with my church. Oh, you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. You go to church? Well, no, but I'm interested. You got to try to tell people about the gospel wherever you can. Then you have to meet for worship gatherings, and I hope more than just one a week. You know, get together and worship with people. You have to visit the sick and elderly people because they feel lonely for one thing, and also they can't take care of things very well. So you have to visit them so they're not lonely and also take care of them. And you have to do homemaking and handyman work for others. Sometimes people aren't old, but they still don't know how to do what you know how to do. So you have to go there and mow their grass and take care of them however you can, because that's just what people need, and it's what personal assistants to Jesus do. And you have to study your Bibles just to become better acquainted with the message of God and His priorities for your life. And you have to mentor those who wish to know what you know, like you know a certain something. And leadership looks backwards. You know what that means? It means you have a certain amount of money and somebody has less than you. You would prefer to be around people who have the same amount of money as you do or more money than you do. But that's exactly what the poorer person thinks. And if you invite the poorer person into your orbit, that's a compliment. Now you have a platform because you have more. Let's say that you're very handsome. Do you know who you lead? You lead the people who are not so handsome, and they wish that the beautiful people in this world would pay attention to them. But the beautiful people never do, because the beautiful people only want to be around other beautiful people and people who are more beautiful. Well, you're more beautiful than somebody, and you're supposed to reach back to the person who has less than you because they want to be with you. And when you reach back to them, now you have a platform as the personal assistant to Jesus to help that person. So you have to get together with these people and help them along. You have more talent. They wish that they had talent, but they don't. Oh, they respect you because you do. There's always somebody who has less than you, and that person is your mission field. There are people who want to learn from you, who want to be with you, so you take them out. You be with them. That's what they want, and that gives you a platform for our heavenly celebrity. Inviting new and old friends to your house in order to show love, because that's what we Christians do. We are personal assistants to the Savior. James says, pure religion, you want to do it right? Pure religion and undefiled, the kind that is just spotless. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. You have to visit people, you just have to take care of people. It's what we personal assistants of Jesus do. I don't really know why that happened, but I'm suddenly on my title slide again. What we're going to do here, let's get back where we belong. That's where we belong. Matthew 9:37 has Jesus saying, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Nobody wants to do this personal assistant work for Jesus. But you do, right? Luke 19:13 says, he called his 10 servants. Remember this guy in the parable of the pounds, minus 3 months' wage? He called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said to them, do business till I come. You're my personal assistants, do business till I come. In Matthew 25:26, remember, the fellow did not do business until he came. And he said, you wicked and lazy servant. He didn't even try. You didn't even try. You were my personal assistant and you didn't even try. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, the Apostle Paul says, I therefore so run. See how hard he's working. I run. Not as uncertainly. So I fight. I run. I fight. You see, he's very into this. I run. I fight. Not as one who beats the air. I'm not just, you know, pretending to fight. I'm really fighting. I'm doing my very best. So I keep under my body. Can you imagine just lifting your body like, you know, get out of that easy chair and go do something. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest by any means when I've preached to others, I myself should be unapproved. So you see how this is? You're serving the Lord with all your heart, and you're really into this. In 1 Corinthians 3:8, you run into this phrase in Scripture. Listen to this. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You know what the word labor there is? Fatigue. Every man will receive his own reward according to his own fatigue. You really worked, didn't you? You tried. And the thing keeps going that way. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your what? Your fatigue is not in vain in the Lord. You're the Lord's personal assistant. And that fatigue is not in vain in the Lord. He sees what you're doing. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Your what of love? Your fatigue of love. You've really worked hard, haven't you, as his personal assistant? 2 Corinthians 5:9 doesn't use the word fatigue, but here's what it says. Therefore we labor. And that word labor is from two Greek words means, which mean I love and I honor. In other words, I really value this. I am working hard at this because I really value it. We labor that whether a present or absent, we may be well-pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive for the things done in his body according to what he's done, whether it be good or bad. So in other words, we are the Lord's personal assistants. He's going to come and he's going to talk to us someday, and we want to please him. We're doing our very best. And one more time with fatigue, Revelation 14:3, a blessing for the people who died while they were serving the Lord in the book of Revelation. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Rest from their what? From their fatigue. And their works do follow them. See, we're not lazy in business. We're working hard. So we've talked about serving the Lord, both from the inside out and the outside as people watch us. He is the very best person in all the universe. It's a privilege to serve him. He's wonderful. And we've talked about not being lazy. So let's just say something real fast about being fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. That means passionate. Fervent means you're really into this emotionally. And we should, in our interior lives, we should have passion to serve the Lord well. But this raises the question, how can you command a person to have emotions? Like, well, you can't, you know, slap me on the face and say, now be happy. I'm trying over here. I can't be happy. How can you command a person to change his emotions? And how can you command a person to just start liking what he doesn't like? How can you do that? Well, we know that the Apostle Paul said it can be learned. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. So that's Philippians 4:11. I've learned it. So that must mean we can learn it too, right? Well, how'd you learn it, Paul? And actually, Paul tells us how he learned. How did you learn to have a good emotional state no matter what's going on? How'd you do that? And he tells us. He doesn't say it in exactly this way, but I'll elaborate and you'll see that this is approximately the way he says it. Emotions are primarily an issue of focus. That's one of the most important psychological principles you can ever learn. Emotions are primarily an issue of focus. What you focus on changes your emotions. Now, the Bible is not going to use the word focus, but it's going to use words that are synonymous with that. So here's what it's going to sound like in the Bible. When you hear the word focus, it's really going to be unceasing prayer. That's focused prayer, right? It's going to be thanks, unceasing thanks. You're going to focus on gratitude. It's going to be meditation. You're going to meditate, that's focus, on God's word day and night. You're going to think about the things that are true and honest. That's focus. Emotions are primarily an issue of focus. Now, as long as, if that's true, then as long as focus is possible, then emotional health is possible. Now, we would like to say that sometimes we understand focus is not possible. For example, if a person has Alzheimer's disease, he can't focus. It's not his fault. If he has a brain tumor, he can't focus. It's not his fault. If he has other organic things happening in his body and he can't focus, it's not his fault. If he is overexhausted, he can't focus. That may or may not be his fault. If he's intoxicated, he can't focus. That is his fault. But there are other reasons why you're not able to focus. So we're saying as long as focus is possible, then emotional health is possible. But we understand that sometimes focus is not possible. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, the Apostle Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, comfort the feeble-minded." Feeble-minded in the New Testament is approximately equal to what we would call depressed. It means the people who need encouragement, they're just discouraged. They just can't get up. And the Bible doesn't say in that text to fix them. You can't fix them. You just comfort them. Just do what you can for them. So sometimes focus is not possible, okay? I'm admitting that now. I am acknowledging that because it's a very, very important point. And if focus is not possible for you for some extenuating circumstances, then okay. What I'm saying in the next few minutes is not to somehow demean you. But as long as focus is possible, emotional health is also possible. And here's what it sounds like in the Bible. Philippians 4:8, notice this is a matter of focus. "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good news, if anything is a virtue, if anything is a praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." As you can see, that's a matter of focus. Think on these things. Focus, focus. Think on these things. And if you will do this, the Bible says, the God of peace will be with you. In Matthew 6:34, "Take no thought for tomorrow." There's a lot of bad things could happen tomorrow. We're not going to focus on that. Don't take any thought for tomorrow. Not that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. That's going to take a lot of focus. You're going to be constantly thinking about things to be thankful for. That's a lot of focus. But that's what we mean. Focus. "In everything give thanks." Philippians 4, again, this time, verse 6. "Be worried for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, so guard your hearts." So you see again, you're going to be praying a lot. That takes focus. And in your prayer, there's going to be gratitude. "Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving." In Ephesians 5:20, "Giving thanks always." Well, that's going to be a lot of focus if it's going to be taking place over and over and over again throughout your day. "Giving thanks always for all things." In Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That's going to take a lot of focus if we're going to be doing that continually. But remember, emotion is primarily an issue of focus. Philippians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord." You're going to have joy thoughts, lots of joy. You're going to focus on your joys. Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You know, just focus on your joys all the time. That's it. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always." Just focus on your joys. Focus on your joys all the time. Joshua 1:8, talking about the Bible. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night." Day and night, folks. You think about this day and night all the time. In the middle of the night when you wake up, you can't think of, you know, why you're not going to sleep, but you're not going to sleep. So you're going to think about the things of God. Psalm 1:2, "In God's law, the righteous man meditates day and night," all the time. So here's where we've been. As a matter of focus, we're going to focus on not the daunting uncertainties of tomorrow. We're not going to focus on that. But we are going to focus on, from all these texts of Scripture, right? We're going to focus on what is true and lovely. We're going to focus on being thankful for everything and in everything. We're going to focus on that. And we're going to focus on prayer, prayer without ceasing. And we're going to focus on the joys, rejoice always. That's going to be our focus. And when shall we do it? From all these verses, when shall we have this focus? Well, always. Three of our verses said always. We're going to have this focus always. Continually, that's the Hebrews 13 text. We're going to do it without ceasing. That's the Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5 text. And we're going to do it day and night. That's the Psalm 1, Joshua 1 text. So you see, we're just going to do this always, day and night, continuously, without ceasing. That's focus. Emotions are primarily an issue of focus. Our text says you're having a responsibility. Not lazy in business, fervent in spirit. Your emotions are going to be passionate about this. How shall I be passionate about this? And the answer is, oh, it's a matter of focus. You'll be passionate about it if you are focused on it. And that's how it works. Well, did you ever watch the movie The Count of Monte Cristo, or did you read the book? There's this one great section in the movie where Dante escapes from prison. As soon as he escapes from prison, he is picked up by pirates. The pirates are going to use him for sport, and he has to have a knife fight with Jacopo. And Jacopo is a good knife fighter, and whoever wins, it's for sport, whoever wins gets to live and serve on the pirate ship. He just gets out of prison. He has to do this knife fight. In the knife fight, he finally gets the advantage over Jacopo, and Dante's holding the knife to his throat says, "As you hope to live, do not move an eyelash." Then he turns to the pirate captain. He says, "Look, you've had your sport. It's a good fight, right? And if I don't kill him, you'll have two of us to work as your crew. So I think you should let us go." And the pirate captain says, "It's a deal." So then Dante takes the knife away from Jacopo's throat. And Jacopo appreciates this. He says, "I swear on my dead relatives, even on the ones that are not feeling too good, I am your man forever." I've always loved that. I felt like every believer in the whole wide world could look to Jesus and say, "You saved me from my sins and from death and hell. I am your man forever." And that's what we can say to the Lord. We are the Lord's personal assistant. And what adventures they had after that. Dante's and Jacopo. Wow, what a story. And what a story you'll have as the Lord's personal assistant. You know how great that is? You should be able to look to Jesus today and say, "You saved me. I am your man forever." And what adventures we'll have. We will get out of bed tomorrow. I had to look at this slide. I don't remember it well enough. And tomorrow we're going to say, "Today is a big day as a personal assistant for Jesus. I'm glad to get out of bed. I'm looking forward to the day. I have cosmic importance, you know. I'm a personal assistant to the best ever VIP. I'm eager to go on another errand for the Master." That's the way you wake up tomorrow and forever.